The reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 and 25 to 32. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Therefore, each of you must put off old-fashioned falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom they were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you.
Good morning. Today, as Bruton said, we're continuing on a series of solid foundations. And it was a really rich talk from Chris Freeman last week. If you didn't hear it, I would encourage you to go on the website and listen to the podcast. It's one of those ones that's not worth missing. Our talk today is titled Right Relationships, and it's based on Ephesians 4. The book of Ephesians is one of four books that Paul wrote when he was in prison, called the Prison Epistle. There was Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then Philemon. And Ephesians can be divided into two parts. There's chapters 1 to 3, which talk about the good news of what God has done. And Paul talks about things like, we have been chosen by God, that we've been adopted as God's sons and daughters, that we've been brought near to the Father through our faith in Jesus, that we were people who were dead in our sins, but now we've been made alive because of the person and the work of Jesus in us. That's really good news. And then we go on to chapters 4 to 6, which is talking about Paul giving us instructions about how to live this life as Christians in the light of all the blessings of chapters 1 to 3. And so here we are today at the beginning of chapter 4. Paul starts with these words: as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The Amplified Bible puts it more strongly. It says, I appeal and I beg you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Paul then begins to unpack and outline how to live this worthy life. He appeals for us to be completely humble and gentle and to be patient, to stop any lying, to not sin in our anger, to not steal, to only speak words that build up, to not grieve the Holy Spirit, to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving of one another. To me, that feels like one great big list of do's and don'ts. And if we read it out of context, just looking at chapter 4 on its own, then it becomes this very legalistic list of oughts and shoulds. But when we hold it alongside chapters 1 to 3 about the good news that we've been chosen and we've been adopted by God, that we're his kids, that we have our sinful nature being dealt with, and that we're being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this life, then it creates a wonderful picture. A wonderful picture of what the church can be, of who we can be. Something to aspire to and to hold on to as the way we want to function and to be known both individually and corporately. Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. A section of Ephesians 4 that wasn't in our reading today has some of the keys about how to live this worthy life. From verses 22 to 24, it says this. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says to put off your old self and put on your new self. Yours and my old self will constantly pull us towards self-centered choices, towards unforgiveness and bitterness. It can even deceive us into thinking what we feel and want is right. Paul encourages us instead to put on our new self, to be made new in the attitude of our minds, allowing God's DNA to come in and enter into us and create us to be more like Him. Paul reminds us here in Ephesians 4, verses 3, that we need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, he says. He doesn't say we can't disagree with each other. That's a relief, isn't it? He doesn't say we can't ever get angry with each other. But what he does say is that we mustn't let the disagreement or the anger cause us to sin. We need to make every effort to keep unity, he says, which means dealing with the anger or the hurt and not letting it fester away. When we disagree with another Christian, maybe even the vicar, what do we do? How do we handle any disagreements? I'm in the middle of reading a book. It's called Navigating by the Sun. You've noticed I often like referring to a book when I'm speaking. But it's been really good. Its blurb on the back says this. This book is an exploration of how Christians can live with deep disagreements. It's about what's important to a healthy church and society in rapidly changing times when anger and division are the easy and common responses. Starting with how Jesus lived, the book examines what it means for individuals and for a church to be Christ-like. It's been really helpful for me to unpack how to navigate these increasingly different Christian viewpoints that actually have the potential to cause damage unless we're able to learn that it's okay to disagree and to do that well. In the preface of the book, it states this, what the world needs most from Christians is not a community that never argues, but a community that takes truth seriously enough to argue, whilst arguing well. The world needs better examples of dealing with difference, disagreement, and resentment. This is what Christian graces like forgiveness, reconciliation, honesty, and forbearance are all about. And in the summary of his chapter, which is titled Disagreeing Without Being Disagreeable, Stephen Cox says this, remember that all are made in the image of God. All, not just believers. And Jesus Christ died for all. Therefore, it's necessary that we recognize Jesus in our opponents or our enemies. It is hard or even impossible if we demonize them or hold them in contempt. Similarly, we need to choose to believe the best of others, not always looking for the worst. Where we do dispute or challenge, we need to speak as a fellow sinner, not as a judge. And in the chapter, he actually unpacks all those points brilliantly. Good disagreement, he says, will aim to bless our opponent. It will have anger under control. It will listen well and hope to learn. It will argue for something. And above all, it will enjoy shared fellowship with Jesus Christ wherever it is possible. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? I think it's probably true to say that within the martyrs, there's a good number of people who know how to argue well. By that I mean people who argue in a healthy way. But there will be times when we have taken offence at what has been said or done, when we haven't dealt with our anger. There may even be some of you who know you're not in a right relationship with somebody else within this church. As Christians, we are called to deal with this, to take off our old self and to put on our new. Change or talk of change can often be a catalyst for deep disagreements, and this is when we need to know how to handle disagreements wisely and in a way that keeps unity rather than creates disunity. In the next weeks and months, we have the challenge of navigating views and opinions around the potential reordering of the nave. There's different views held by many here, some very passionate views. And that's okay, that's healthy, that's needed. What matters most is how we navigate the differences of opinions, how we listen, how we respond to someone who says something that we don't like, how we work at staying in fellowship with each other while deeply disagreeing. And even within the Church of England at the moment, there's this ongoing discussion about sexuality, which has a huge potential to divide the church. Again, there's the need for us to learn to be Christians living with deep disagreement. The aim of this discussion by the Church of England is not to get us to all have to agree on the same thing, but to agree to disagree in a respectful and honouring way. Each of us is responsible for letting the Holy Spirit search our own hearts and revealing if we are, like Paul urges us, living a life worthy of the calling, living in right relationship with others. And if not, let's take responsibility for putting off our old self and putting on our new self. Like Paul did, let's hold the truths of the good news that we are loved by God. We are chosen and adopted children. Our sinful nature has been dealt with. We do have the Holy Spirit to help us. And because of these truths, we need to be seeking to live lives that are worthy of the calling that we've received, to be living in right relationship with others. I'm going to read out some parts of Ephesians 4 again now. And just going to get you to close your eyes. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come. And if there's anything he wants to specifically highlight, just to give him that opportunity. If you're like me, I get lots of thoughts that flit in and out. So I'm not talking about those kind of things. But just if something comes strongly into your mind with the Holy Spirit convicting you, just be aware and ready for that. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come now. We ask that you search our hearts and we rest in the truth that we know that you love us, you care about us, and you want us to be in right relationship. So Holy Spirit, I pray you'd show us if there's something or someone that I'm not being humble and gentle with. Holy Spirit, is there someone I need to be patient with? Or some situation I need to show patience with. Show me, Holy Spirit, if I've been lying. Show me if I've sinned in my anger. Holy Spirit, have I been stealing in any way? Show me if I've been speaking to others in a way that builds up or pulls down. Holy Spirit, show me if I have any bitterness or rage or anger in me right now. Is there anyone I'm not being kind, compassionate, or forgiving towards? We thank you that your word says we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. And Lord, I thank you that you only show us things that you have the grace and love toward us to deal with them. So just pray that you cover these things and help us to live in right relationship with one another, to learn to disagree well, and to do it because we want to reflect who you are to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.